You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Amazing things that happen in the summer, but we set aside time to meet God. That's what we chose to do. We set aside time to hear from God, for us as the church and us as individuals. And he did just that. He met us. And Pastor Matt ministered powerful messages. And if you haven't listened to them yet because you're away, all the sessions are available. They've been sent to your email box. Don't just like forget about it. Click on them. It will like change your understanding of what God's doing. Pastor Matt spoke to us about faith, spoke to us about praying and looking up, spoke to us about the anointed, being anointed for the plans and the purposes that God has for us, anointed for overcoming personal issues. But what's meant to happen after you meet God at the summer? What comes after? I want to encourage you, don't forget what happened at the summer. Don't forget. And hear me this morning. I'm not just talking about an event last week. We ascended to the summit to meet with God. We put aside time to meet with God. I also want to encourage you, don't get tricked or distracted by things or into things that don't line up with what happened when you met God at the summit. Anything that comes to you and tries to take your distraction or take you off the focus of where God is calling you. If God had a word for you last week, if God had a word for you that relates to this church, don't get tricked, don't get distracted, don't get taken off where God is calling you to be. I want to encourage you, don't get tricked or distracted by other people who aren't committed to their journey, let alone yours. Don't get tricked or distracted by people around you. If people aren't on fire, going where God is, you should not be listening to their trickery or distractions. You need to stay true to what God's called you to. My first point this morning is this. Remember what happened and share it with others. Remember what happened when God spoke to you. Remember the word that he gave to you. Remember the encouragement that filled your heart and soul. This is what it says in Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation commends your works to another, and they tell of your mighty acts. See, don't treat it as this thing where it's like, I'm going to wait for the next moment of encounter. I'm going to wait for the next moment of encounter. No, you need to be focused and clear. It's like, this is what God did, and I'm going to tell someone else about it. Amen? I'm going to tell someone else about it. I think we've got some other versions up on the screen as well. Can we put those up? Each generation will praise you and tell the next generation about the great things you do. Parents will tell their children what you have done. They will retell your mighty acts. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. Don't keep it to yourself. Remember them and share it with others. Amen. See, your testimony encourages someone else. If you were in a place where you're like, God, I don't even know what to do next. And then God spoke to you clearly when you ascended to the summit. You need to tell someone else because we all think that everyone's doing fine, right? We're the only ones with struggle. No, if God speaks to you, share it with as many people as you can. Encourage as many people as you can. It's important to note what God does at the summit must not be forgotten in the valley. Especially in the valley, we need to remind ourselves of the victory that we're walking in, the promises that we're walking in and into. We need to tell it. We need to pass it on. We need to tell of God's move, that God's power. We need to proclaim it to the people around. It is a testimony of God's goodness. You got a testimony of God's goodness? Share it. Share it. Encourage someone around you. See, it's easy to meet with God when you purposely set aside time to do something like the summit that we did last week. God wants to meet with his people. It's his heart. He loves to meet with his people. But it's also easy to descend from the summit into everyday life and be consumed by life. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? So you had this amazing moment where you met with God, this amazing encounter when you met with God. But after the summer, it's easy to descend and be like, oh, life is overwhelming. See, work's busy, family's demanding, the shopping has to be done. The prophetic word that happened on the mountain summit fades to a distant memory as a promise of the past. We need to arrest ourselves. We need to say to ourselves, no, what happened there is reality now. I'm walking in the promises. See, God doesn't want you just to descend down the mountain and just be overwhelmed by life. That's not how God wants you to relate to your summit experience. Instead, 1 Timothy 1:18 says this, Timothy, you're like a son to me. What I am telling you to do agrees with the prophecies that were told about you in the past. I want you to remember those prophecies and fight the good fight of faith. This is God speaking to us through his word. Whatever God spoke to you about, when you met with him, when you encountered, not just last week, every word that you have ever received, every encouragement that's ever spoken to you out of the word of God, you need to fight the good fight of faith when it comes to those prophecies. Don't let it go. Now, if you're not someone who's like writing down the prophecies that God's given you, the words, the encouragements, the wisdom that God's spoken, can I encourage you? It's time to start. How can you fight the good fight of faith with those prophecies if you can't remember what they are? You got to have them in front of you. Write them in the back of your Bible. Oh, wouldn't that be bad to write? If you're writing prophecies in your Bible, I think God's okay with that. You're not like doodling little cartoons. No, this is prophecies that have been given from God, and you're writing them down to encourage yourself to fight the good fight. The word you received, the messages you heard, the encounters that you had with God, be reminded, be encouraged to remember the word of prophecy, remember the message and fight for it. Can I encourage you? Maybe you've been lulled into a culture where you're just doing these ones. Oh, I'm really hopeful that that happens. Oh, 10 years has passed. God, are you gonna do something? I'd be encouraged today. Are you gonna do something? What are you gonna do with the word that God gave you? What are you gonna do with the message that God gave you? Are you gonna fight for it? Are you gonna keep it here? Or are you gonna let it fade to the back of your mind? We need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to fight the good fight and keep those prophecies in front of us. There can't be any sitting down when it comes to be active in the commission of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are called to be active. We are called to use our faith. Faith without works is? Oh, you haven't heard that scripture yet. Faith without works is? Yeah, you have heard that scripture. We've got to activate it. I want to encourage you, don't let life steal it. Don't let challenges steal it. Don't let distractions steal it. Don't let people distract you. Don't let people bring dissension in your life. You know, a true follower of Jesus will never bring you to a place of mistrust, dissension, or distress. Can I say that again? A true follower of Jesus will never bring you to a place of mistrust, dissension, or distress. That doesn't reflect the image of Jesus, amen. And you're sitting here running, you're like, are you saying that they're not a Christian? Oh no, they're a Christian. They're definitely a follower of Jesus. But you know, you want to know what's happening when individuals do that to you? Those followers of Jesus are allowing undealt with things to bleed out of them onto you. Keep your guard up. Use wisdom. Someone comes to you and speaks things over you that make you feel like that. Does that line up with the word of God? Is that encouragement? Does that line up with the fruit of the Spirit? I'm pretty sure, it's been a while since I've looked at it, but I'm pretty sure mistrust, dissension, and distress are not fruits of the Spirit. Can anyone confirm that for me? Anyone else read their Bible? See, don't let somebody else's disappointment, hurt, and brokenness bleed onto you. That's not yours to carry. That's theirs to be healed in. Amen. Can I encourage you, if you're someone who's been doing that to people, because there are things going on in your world that have hurt you, broken you, caused distress and mistrust in you, don't transfer it onto somebody else. Take it to the Lord. See a counselor. Get healing, because God has plans and promises for you. We heard it last week, but He won't release you if you're bleeding these things out onto the body of Christ. Jesus went to the cross for those things, amen. Amen. Don't feel this is a whack this morning. Get those things out, because there's plans and promises that God has called you and our church to walk in, and we need to walk in the victory, amen. We need to lift people up. Don't get tricked. Don't get sidetracked. The word of God, the word that God had for you on the summit was a good word for you. And I want to encourage you that now you're descending into the daily life of following Jesus, it's still a good word for you. Fight the fight. Fight for it. Live it out. You know, Pastor Matt shared with us a powerful miracle that Elijah was part of on Mount Carmel. And it was in 1 Kings 18. And God performs this powerful miracle. Elijah made an altar out of 12 stones, covered it with wood, and then just doused it with water. Just covered it with water. Just keep bringing it. Keep dousing it. I want this thing overflowing with water multiple times. And let's just read the scripture, starting at verse 36. About the time for the afternoon sacrifice, the prophet Elijah approached the altar and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I ask you now to prove that you are the God of Israel and that I am your servant. Show these people that it was you who commanded me to do these things. Lord, answer my prayer. Show these people that you, Lord, are God and that you are the one who is bringing them back to you." Then fire came down from the Lord and burned the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the ground around the altar. Then it dried up. It dried up all the water in the ditch. All the people saw this happen and bowed down to the ground and began saying, "The Lord is God. The Lord is God." See, Elijah met God on the summit. God moved powerfully on that mountaintop. I mean, you look at the story and it's like, how is that even possible? Just God. Just God moving in power. Just God revealing himself to a group of people that needed to hear that he is the Lord God Almighty, and what they are following is not him, and it's time to turn their hearts and their heads back to him. God showed power. God was known for the people, and they proclaimed, "The Lord is God." See, may your summit breakthroughs point people to God. But how can it if you don't share it with them? Share the breakthrough. Share the victory. Share the encounter. Tell someone what happened. Let your testimony be known. See, just one chapter later, we look at Elijah. And this is 1 Kings 19, starting in verse 2. And let's just be clear. There were some people who weren't happy with what God did at the mountaintop. It disrupted what they wanted to do, what they were outworking. This is what it says. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, "I swear that by this time tomorrow, you will be just as dead as those prophets. If I don't succeed, may the gods do the same or worse to me." What a dumb prayer to pray. Fire has descended from heaven and burnt rocks into nothing. The same or worse to me. When Elijah heard this, he was afraid. So he ran away to save his life. He took his servant with him, and they went to Beersheba in Judah. Then Elijah left his servant in Beersheba and walked for a whole day into the desert. It's only one S, so it's not dessert, it's desert. Has anyone struggled with those words where it's like there's a double S? Oh, man. Lose, loose, choose, chose. God loves the American language. Oh. Then he sat down under a bush and asked to die. He said, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. What? What? He has just had the most amazing breakthrough on the mountaintop. God has revealed power that has done something that had never been done before. The people of that city who were observing what happened turned to God and said, you are the Lord God Almighty. We believe that you're the Lord God. He had accomplished what was meant to be accomplished. And by one person saying, if by tomorrow this doesn't happen to you, may it happen to me, he fled in fear. The victory was robbed. The victory was stolen. The breakthrough, he was tricked by someone's words. Let's be clear, those words were powerless. I truly believe that if he didn't run, that's exactly what she would have been stepping into. The same thing would have happened to her at that very moment. She prayed it over herself and God would have been probably happy to assist. But he reaches this point, I've had enough, take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. I want to say this to you today. God has done a powerful thing in us. God has done a powerful thing in you. Don't be tricked. Don't be sidetracked. Don't listen to the voices of other people who are bleeding things onto you. And I want to say this. You are saved. You are walking in salvation. When Elijah says, I'm no better than my ancestors, friends, family, you are following Jesus. If you're a first generation, if you're a first generation Christian, can you lift your hand to Jesus this morning? We talk about people lamenting, and you can put your hands down. People lamenting that they're no better than their ancestors. You chose to follow Jesus. You accepted salvation. You've got a victory. You've got a promise. You've got a hope. Don't allow those thoughts. It's like, oh, I'm just the same as them. I'm the same as I used to be before I was saved. Oh, no. Oh, no. You got a victory. You got a hope. You got a promise in Jesus Christ. See, after a victory, we rejoice at God's victory, but the enemy doesn't like it. I go as far as saying it's more than he doesn't like it. Instead, the enemy chooses to roar like a lion. Like a lion. He's not a lion. There's but one. There's but one lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Come on. Come on. There's but one. It's Jesus. But the enemy loves to roar loud like a lion to make you shrink back. And I got to run into the desert. So it can be the same sometimes for us. We ascend the summit or we have a powerful encounter with God on a Sunday at church. But the reality of coming back down from that place, the reality of entering that daily life can feel at odds with the summit, if you know what I'm talking about. See, if this week you've had challenges after your encounter moment, your summit top moment, see, you're in good company. Elijah had the challenge. We're talking about someone who just like called down fire from heaven. Elijah had the challenge. See, this week I've been standing on the words of summit in the midst of the enemy trying to cause me to shrink back my faith and belief. I want to encourage you, fear doesn't live here no more. We have the victory, amen. I want to encourage you, fleeing into the desert is not an option. It's not your option. No, we're running towards the promises. We're celebrating in the victory. We're remembering all the good things that God's done. See, this is what it says in Hebrews, before I go there. I want to encourage you that God had Elijah. And we can see in the chapters after that that God shows that he has Elijah and God shows that he's not done with Elijah yet. But I want to encourage you that God has you. God's got you. He's your provider. He's your miracle-working God. And what he said and what he did at the summit is a memorial of his goodness. Amen. So Hebrews 10:39 says this, but we don't belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. That's who we belong to. That's who we are. We're not shrinking back. We're celebrating. We're remembering. We're activating what God spoke to us about. So we stand in faith on the word of God. Amen. See, after the summit, there are purposes, there are plans, there are missions to outwork. See, Elijah wasn't done. In verse 19, it wasn't over. It looks like it was, but I want to encourage you that even in the middle of a moment of doubt, and it came immediately after a huge move of God, God spoke to Elijah's heart and showed him the plans that he still had for him. If you're feeling a little bit like, oh, last week was full on, but how does it? Just keep the faith. It's one of the first things that Pastor Matt spoke to us about. Faith. Faith, 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 faith. See, Gateway, there is a mission set before us. It's a mission set before us. And God wants to use you to see your friends, your colleague, family members find salvation and hope in Jesus. Your summit moment has brought you vision, healing, clarity, purpose, amongst many other things from last week. And I want to encourage you, after the summit, let your life be a memorial of God's goodness. I'm going to read a passage of scripture quickly this morning. It's important to understand that what I'm talking about this morning, after the summit, let your life be a memorial. Build a memorial. It's a biblical practice. Joshua 4. When all the people across the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you'll camp tonight. So Joshua called together 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up a stone and carry it on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one each for the 12 tribes of Israel. We'll use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. So the men did this as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the River Jordan, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night, and they constructed a memorial there. Just to be clear, we're not going to be gathering stones after the service, in case anyone's wondering. But this moment, after meeting God at the summit, it is deserving of being memorialized in church history, in your lives, in your history, as a moment where God moved. We must look back at those moments of God's grace and victory being given to us, and we need to tell and show the children on it. What speaks more loudly than a pile of stones? A group of people who stand strong as a living memorial of what God has done. What does that mean? Well, if God spoke to you, if God had a word for you, it's time to activate. It's time to be people who come to church every week. It's time to be people who are like, what can I do to serve you, Lord? What can I do to serve you in my workplace? What can I do to serve my colleagues? What can I do to serve my community? How can I be someone who stands up within the local church and it's like, I'm here and I'm bringing people. How can I do that, Lord? Activate me for it. Give me the words to say. The powerful victory that I had at the summit, let me bring it into my now. This is not for me to just to keep walking the same walk that I walked before. This is a moment that deserves to be memorialized. See, remember what the Lord has done. Build a memorial to the Lord. let it be built in your life, a living memorial. Just see, let it be known. Teach it to the next generation that this is where God intervened. This is where God intervened. See, by God's grace, we have memorial markers. I'm looking at them this morning. By God's grace, we have memorial markers. I'm looking at them right now. See, some of our other memorial markers are this. It started in 1984, the birth of Gateway. That's our first memorial marker. Memorials of pastors being called to serve this church. Living memorials of people finding salvation in Jesus. Memorials of land being purchased and buildings being purchased so we weren't wandering through community halls anymore. Memorials of victories being won. Memorials of provision. So many more memorials. We could list them, but we don't have time this morning. We've got some people to baptize. But after the summit, let us remember and let us live it out. Amen. After the summit, let us remember what God did. After your encounters, even the encounters that happen from this moment forward, remember them. Remember them. Live it out and tell the next generation. Let us be rememberers of the summit moments, the words, the messages, the miracles, and let us live it out for God's glory. You know what? This is what it says in Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God wins victory after victory and is always with you. He celebrates and sings because of you, and he will refresh your life with his love. Ponder it for a moment. Victory after victory. He's always with you. Your provider, the one who stands with you. He celebrates and sings because of you. Ponder that for a moment. Because of you, he celebrates and sings. Maybe at the moment you're like, what? What? Why would God celebrate and sing because of me? You are restored as a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You have turned your face and your heart back to him. He celebrates and sings because of you, that you're known as a son and daughter. And he will refresh your life with his love. You know, if you don't know Jesus personally this morning, this is your moment. This is your moment. God wants to celebrate and sing because you've come back into relationship with him. What does that look like? Well, there's something really simple that we all need to understand this morning. Many of you have heard this before. This may be your first time. And it's this, that God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus. Jesus lived among us without sin. He took our sin to the cross. He died. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. Why? So that he could take the sin of the world and we could be forgiven for our sin. He wants us to be restored. And the only way for that to happen was for Jesus to be the eternal sacrifice. But Jesus rose again in power, making it possible for us to have life. Amen. For us to have restoration. For us to be restored as sons and daughters to our Most High God that loves us. That's how much Jesus loves you. So with our eyes closed for just a moment, I just want to give you the opportunity this morning to receive that salvation, to receive that forgiveness, to pray a prayer of acknowledging that he's the Lord Almighty. If that's you today, this is your moment. Don't let it by. That spiritual hunger that I was talking about earlier, that thirst in our spirits can only be fulfilled by God, the Creator, your Creator. I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me this morning. It's a prayer of acknowledging Jesus, asking forgiveness, and being known as his son or daughter. Why don't we close our eyes for a moment and pray this prayer after me. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus, that he went to the cross, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. I believe it in my heart, and I confess it with my mouth. Forgive me of my sin. I repent. I surrender my life, and from this day on, I choose to follow you for all the days of my life. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.